And now, ladies and gentlemen of the radio audience, it gives me a great pleasure.
Good morning, houseplants. Yes, it's wake-up time.
Hey, y'all, wake up.
Get up and go to work.
Do you understand what I'm saying? But that can't be.
Lamentations. 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 Worldwide.
Remix culture takes many forms, but the most popular is the mashup. I sat down with a mashup artist known as the world-famous audio hacker to find out just what a mashup is.
A mashup is, I guess in its simplest form, it's basically where someone would take two songs. Usually it's the vocal track or the a cappella to one song and basically overlay it on top of the instrumental version of another song, trying to create a new, either a new song or a new interpretation of a maybe more well-known song, something like that. Mm. But then it basically expands past that where, you know, you start playing more tricks and adding more pieces and parts in some cases if you want to make it more complex or whatever.
10 years ago, this wouldn't have been possible. You could have plugged to turntable 20 years ago. 20 years ago, yeah. This wouldn't have been possible. You could have plugged two turntables into a mixer and you could have played both at the same time, but you probably couldn't have adjusted the speed so that the beat would match very well, and you'd have a difficult time getting it so that so that it didn't sound completely dissonant. Now you can play with a pitch, you can play with a tempo, you can play with a volume, of course. There must be other things that you can do when you are putting two pieces of music basically against each other, right?
Yeah, well, and I think the point with turntables, too, is that today what you could do is you could shift the key of a song and keep it at the same tempo or even slow it down, where with the turntable, you know, that's not even really possible at all. So that's the big difference between, I guess, trying to do something digitally and the turntable or sort of analog or cassette way that you might have seen that 20 years ago or whatever.
You know, with all of the technology, you can do things now that couldn't be done 10 or 20 years ago. But this isn't exactly a new idea, is it? I mean, there always have been references in all kinds of music, in pop music, in rock, in classical, for that matter. You sort of hear references to other kinds of things, but you can play with them in a different way.
Yeah, I mean, I started out as a musician, you know, playing the bass guitar, and I guess when I would write songs, which I don't do much anymore, but at the time when I would, you know, there is this tendency while you're writing something that's similar to how you would compose it with a mashup, which is that you do have a sound or some sort of influence that's hit you that you want to work with, you know, and maybe put your own taste on top of or work with in terms of trying to explore that sound or that method. So in many ways, the difference between me lifting something digitally and looping it and creating a new bass line out of that and me saying, hey, I want to, you know, copy some Beatles bass line and play around like that isn't that much different, you know, from a human behavioral standpoint. So,
Are there any problems with the legality of this? I mean, after all, you are taking other people's stuff. In fact, didn't you just put out a CD box of your mashups?
Yeah, well, it is questionable in terms of the legality of it, although I think most people who do this, you know, they know that if an artist or a label contacted them and asked them to stop with certain tracks or whatever, that most people would be happy to comply and, you know, take it down. But I've actually had a number of artists ask me if I could do one for them. So it's really interesting.
Yeah,
in that way.
Well, let's take one of your mashups apart so we can see how it works. You brought one for us called Cold Hearted Time Bomb.
Yeah, Cold Hearted Time Bomb. So the opening guitar riff is from The Vines, and the song's called Get Free, which sounds like this. And then I essentially based the track off of Beck's single at the time called Time Bomb. And playing off of Time Bomb, I used a song that was just out at the time as well from The Hives that's called Tick Tick Boom, which sounds a bit like this.
Tick, tick, tick.
And then while I was putting this together, just sometimes things pop in your head and there's really no explanation for it. And there's this guitar riff from an old industrial song by Skinny Puppy called Tin Omen. And I think where I started to stray in this case is, you know, trying to find vocals that worked with everything that we're putting together here, and ended up being Paula Abdul's Cold Hearted.
Uh-oh, he's been telling lies. It's a love a boy at play. He don't play by rules.
I guess when I started having some fun with it, I used a song called Push It by Salt and Pepper. And then an old alternative rock song from the 80s by a band called The Godfathers, and the song's called Birth, School, Work, Death. And then finally I used the rhythm from Young MC's song called Bust a Move, which sounds like this.
So you've got all eight of those very different pieces that you're going to put together into a time bomb. What does it sound like when you do that?
Well, I think to some extent, you know, it is its own creation at that point. But the other thing that I hear when I listen to it is it's if you took the concept of a lengthy DJ mix or something and put it together, in some ways this is that smashed down into 3 minutes, where, you know, in 3 minutes time you get to hear these eight songs pass by and sort of enjoy being, aha, I hear it, there it is, while at the same time not feeling like you have to listen to 40 minutes of music that would cover those eight songs.
Start with one and that's clear, and you add another one and they're still pretty much clear. By the time you put three or four and eventually eight together, none of the originals are really there anymore, are they? It's something entirely different.
Yeah, I think that's a bit of, you know, when you get into the copyright or the legality discussion about this, this is where it starts to be interesting, because you're still obviously doing sampling, which has its own licensing issues already, but you're clearly not just playing, you know, someone's voice on top of a different song. So it does become a new composition, I think.
So all of this put together, do you think mashups are art?
I think they can be. I really do think it depends on what you're doing. I mean, to some extent, you know, is pop music art? I think it can be. And sometimes it's just a disposable moment in time that entertains you well, right? So I think depending on, I guess, the intent of who's doing it and where you go with it, that's the difference between art, so. It's hard to say. I mean, is Andy Warhol art or not? This is sort of Andy Warhol for your ears in some ways, right?
I am a spy in the house of love.
Derek Chilcote-Bacco, a.k.a. the world-famous audio hacker.